Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Our Take on It. It's Deborah and Jackie, and today we're going to talk about purpose. Now, believe it or not, many of us ask this, thought reckoning question: what is my purpose? And we would even go to God and say, God, what is my purpose? What is your plan for my life? What am I supposed to do while I'm here on earth? What was I created to do? And I'm here to tell you that we all have a purpose, but that purpose can only comes from the direction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Proverbs 3:5-6 is perfect for this. He said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, many of us are suffering from lack of directions. We don't have direction in our lives, and because we don't have directions, things are not happening. And we tend to want to go ahead and do things just because we think we have the ability or the opportunity presents itself, and so we just go. And many of us fail, and we fail miserably. But the beautiful thing about failure is that when failure comes, it's a chance for you to acknowledge that, because the success is so much better, because there is no success without failure, right? And so don't count your failure as a lost cause. Your failure is a setup for success.
Yeah, beautifully said. And I think what's really interesting about your comment, Deb, is the fact that sometimes people don't realize that it is a long journey to mm-hmm. find that purpose. And you have to live life, and you have to perhaps go through different things to really determine what you're good at or how God moves you in a certain direction. And it is fascinating, because sometimes people are like, well, I want to be this, or I want to be like this person. But each of us are created to be individuals. And biblically, it's stated that we are all here for a purpose, that mm-hmm. God created us, to fulfill a specific role. But most of us just don't know how to find that purpose. Mm-hmm. So either we head off in the wrong direction, and as you pointed out, we have to fail, and perhaps fail many times before we move closer to the ultimate goal. And each one of us has talents, and this is the problem. We live in such a careless state of comparison with other people that, wow, why can't I talk like that person? Or why can't I, be someone who understands electronics the way somebody understands it? But that may not be your role. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just don't fit in that area, mm-hmm. And you can have the subtlest talent that you don't even know until you fail in certain areas, and you finally, and this is with God's help. It's not with your own initiative. You have to realize
His will.
God's will that is moving you in a different direction. Sometimes we hear that small, still voice in our heads that will direct us along the right path. But other times, we just have to keep moving and moving forward. And we use the phenomenal example of Jesus, because Jesus was never defeated. He was always moving forward. He had a mission statement. He knew who he was in the eyes of his Father. Mm-hmm. And he moved through all different kinds of people. People who would have been unacceptable outside the boundaries of his religious beliefs. He found something that he could utilize in them to promote his message. He also moved among people who thought they had superior intelligence to him, strong rituals or ideas about how things should be done. Mm-hmm. And he defied them all. He basically said, look, I don't really care how you do things. I am going to say that it can be done better, and I can get a different outcome, and I can help this person, or I can move out of this confined position that you have and get a better outcome. So he was really a great risk taker. And that is what is so phenomenal when you follow the gospel, that you realize that there are so many people that had to find their destiny. And we're talking about a long journey in some cases. We're talking about 20 years or more, 40 years before they manifested their true destiny that God had predetermined for them. And I think as individuals, sometimes we give up too early on what our dreams are. Because if we look and we say, oh, wow, if I'm not married by such and such a time, then I wasn't meant to get married. I'm so tired of being a bride maid. Let me just say I want to be a bride. So you go and you pick up the wrong person. And that wrong person can ruin your life. Rather than sitting back and waiting for things to manifest in the right way for you to meet someone mm-hmm. who treats you well, who understands you, who can be an asset to your life, you make a bad decision because you speed it up instead of waiting on God's timing.
Well, absolutely. And this is the thing, though. There's a difference between your talents, your gifts, and your purpose. Sometimes they're interchangeable, meaning your talents and your gifts can lead you to your purpose in serving God. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, a lot of people think that, oh, well, I am singing a rap song. You know, that is my purpose. But that ain't your purpose. That's just your talent. And that's a talent outside of God, right? But then you'll go up and, of course, receive the award and say, God, I thank you. It's almost like the devil do all the work and you're thanking God, which is great, you know, it's not for the essence of what God's intentions are for you, right? And so I've seen a lot of people struggle with that in the misconception of using their talent as their purpose. But if your talent is not glorifying God, it is not. And if you're not serving your purpose, then you're not serving God. Because the main reason why God created us is to serve him, to worship him, to magnify him, to glorify him, to exalt him, right? And also to spread the gospel. And if we're not doing any of that, then we're not serving God. And when we say, oh, serve God, you know, it might seem so simple, but everything that we do should have the glorification of God written all over it. And it's because he is directing our path. And the only way we can have that glorification is like, you know, if you see my glory, it's because God knows my story, right? Because I allow him to direct my path. I didn't lean on my own understanding. I acknowledge him. Even if it's simple as me moving this cup from here to there, God, should I move this cup? Go ahead, Deborah, move the cup. It's safe to do so. Or God, should I take this trip? Go ahead, Deborah, take that trip. Or should I, you know, buy a new house? And I might not hear anything. I might hear silence. That's not an approval, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, he didn't say anything. He said yes to a lot of things. So he'll say yes to this. I'm going to go buy the house. And you go and buy the house. And guess what? Total failure, right? And so we have to learn how to, and that's why the fruit of the Spirit is so important for us, because within that 9 fruit of the Spirit, patience and self-control trumps it all, because that's what we lack, patience and self-control, because we live in a world that is of a microwave system. We want it now, quick,
everything is
right? Yeah. So we don't want to wait for God's response, mm-hmm. but how is he going to direct your life? How is he going to direct your part? David knew so much all about allowing God's presence and God's perfect timing to develop himself and to make his life more simplistic. And he knew how to wait upon the Lord. You know, and Isaiah said, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And when you think of those words, think about me running a marathon and not, you know, just figuratively running a marathon and not getting tired. I outrun everybody. Why? Because God's strength is within me. It's not my own strength, right? So I don't want to operate on my own will, because I've operated outside of the will of God and I fail miserably. So now I've learned how to wait on him, for his perfect timing is the best timing for us. And so that is me serving my purpose. So the main point of you serving your purpose is all comes down to obedience.
Absolutely. And I was going to make 2 points with that, because that's just so beautifully stated. Is what you need initially to fulfill God's purpose is you need to know his word, and you need to build that intimate relationship where, as you say, you're obedient to the word because you read it and you know what it is. And I heard someone once say, I can do anything that I put my head to, you know, it everything works out well for me. I feel sorry for that person, because truthfully, you're thinking only on your own skills. You're not thinking about God and who God should be in your life.
But also, even with them making that statement, unless they're in the Spirit of God, and they could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Absolutely.
But if I'm saying I can do all things just self-reliant and self-observed, no, you can't. And you don't see the failure ahead, because what you don't see ahead is what God sees ahead. So your moment that you're talking of now is just on a plateau of what you can see and what you know, but you don't know what's ahead. So your success that you're counting on could be the failure that you need coming up.
So true. Yeah. And I think David is a beautiful example, because even as a young boy, when he defeated Goliath, right in his thought was, I don't need any heavy weaponry, or I don't need to be in a big armor or anything. All I need is my God standing beside me.
Yeah.
And that's going to give me the victory I need. And despite the mistakes that David made later in life, which were serious ones, he was still described as a man after God's own heart because he went searching for God's I wouldn't even say searching. He knew that God's approval was essential to every movement, every move that he made. And even though he made mistakes, he came back into the confines of repentance and, you know, acknowledging that he had stepped away from where he needed to be. And that's why there were consequences for that.
And that's why I love David, Psalms 51. And when he talks about, he said, do not take your Holy Spirit away from my presence. And the beautiful one I love most of all, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Do you realize, like, when you're in the Spirit of God and you're operating in His Spirit and in His realm and everything is going good, and then when you go outside of that, you know, it's like a partner being upset with their with his spouse, and like, I'm giving you the silent treatment, I'm not talking to you, and that house feels so empty, you can hear the echoes in the wall because there is no communication and there is no intimacy and there's nothing happening. It's like that one person is trying to rebuild the structure that they broke down. And that's what David did in Psalms 51. That's where I love when he says, you know, restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Exactly.
And so a lot of us has a lot of restoration that we need to go through. We need to go through that strain. We need to go through that purge.
After that brokenness.
And just find ourselves back in the presence of God. And sometimes we don't know how to do that, right? And we don't know how to do that. And sometimes pride steps in that makes us feel like, oh my God, you know what? This whole spiritual intimacy realm thing is just too much. I can't. Let me step back. And so they want the easy way out and so they will just go live a life of their own choice without the presence of God.
Yeah.
But then eventually it's like the prodigal son. They always return because they see they can't function and their life has no direction. Their life has nothing that is steering them in the right direction, except for God. If not God, who? He has no rival.
Yeah.
He has no equal. He's unmatched. Why would I not trust him with everything?
So, so true.
Why would I not? He said, nothing can separate the love that I have for you. Not the devil, not oceans, not tides, not weather, nothing. So if he says, nothing can separate the love that he has for me, that is something that I can trust. Because when was the last time somebody said that to me?
So true. Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. I think that is what leads you to your purpose, is to know God. Because that will direct you along the path where he speaks to you. He not only directs you, but he speaks to you. He guides you. He protects you. He gives you the opportunity to be the best person that you can be.
But,
and you cannot do it without the foundation that he provides.
It's true, but because he also said, you know, before you were forming your mother's womb, I knew you. And the plans I have for you is to what? To prosper you.
Yeah.
So if God's plan is to prosper me, why am I getting in the way of that plan to work itself out? I can't. I got to step out the way and let God take control. Jesus takes the wheel.
Well, you just basically said people lack patience. You know, they lack discipline. The fruits of the Spirit that give you that foundation so that you can wait it out. You can say, I'm just going to follow you, God, no matter how difficult this is, no matter how horrible the situation looks. If it's a medical situation and things look horrible, you pray. And when you pray, people don't realize you don't keep going back over the same thing day in,
no,
day out.
No, you just pray
you just
that
say,
one and leave it.
Thank you, God, that it's working. I know that you're working somehow. And you will turn this situation toward good for me.
Yes.
But I just have to sit back and trust you. And don't let any of that negativity come into the equation because it will be there.
And the worst thing you can do,
you won't make it.
And the worst thing you can do is question God. Don't you ever open your mouth to question God about the things that you are going through, because half of it has nothing to do with him and some of it may have something to do with him. Because if God causes adversity in your life, it's because he needs your attention and he needs you to introspect in your life to see what you need to be corrected so you can bring yourself in alignment with his will. So adversity comes at a time when it's critical because you are going over a debt trap.
Wow.
And you got, and the only way God can stop you is by causing a diversion of adversity in your life that will save your life. He's already saved your life from day one by dying, and he still has to save your life every single day that you are awake and alive. Because if you're dead, you have no chance of making wrong right. Yeah. Right? So every chance that you are alive, Christ is consistently saving your life.
Yeah. How many people say that when I had that heart attack, it was the most amazing thing that happened to me because I changed my eating habits. I cut down on my weight. You know, I decided to give more things away and more, be more generous, you know, that I decided not to hold vicious grudges against people that were stealing the health of somebody. And when you let go of these things, God leads you on a new path and you completely rebuild yourself. You know, you come back from a different perspective. And like you said, bad things happen for good outcomes in many cases.
All the time. So what we're trying to say here, your purpose starts with you being obedient to the will of God. If you do not want to be obedient, then you are going to suffer the consequences of your actions, of your mistakes, and of your own choices. And you have no one else to blame because God is not going to come, or Jesus is not going to come and say, let me handle that for you. No, he needs you to take responsibility and accountability, because guess what? He doesn't run away from his responsibility. And he's a man that he always does what he said he will do, right? He's unchangeable. And because he's unchangeable, his job is to change you. And that's what you need to do. Allow him to make that change so you can fall into the purpose of the plans that God has for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just say in conclusion that when you do read God's word, you change.
It's supposed to change you.
It really does. You know, the longer you do it, you find that people notice the changes that you don't even notice. And then it manifests itself in an even bigger way. But definitely reading the word and being obedient to it and understanding the essence of it, it does produce change. And that is its fundamental purpose.
And you're absolutely right, because Paul said it too. He said, don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're right. Absolutely. Transformation is necessary through God's word and obedience and just living your purpose according to his will. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really love this podcast because it really emphasizes all about your purpose and the reason why we're here. And instead of people searching every day, asking these oblivious questions as to what's my purpose of being here, your purpose is simply to serve God and to do it the way he wants you to do it, not the way you think you should do it. So let go and let God.
That's it. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. My name is Deborah.
And my name is Jackie.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend.